Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Today, we will be looking at Acts chapter 28, but we'll be finishing up the series we're currently in called Called Out. Can you believe we are at the end of 2017? What a year it's been. And we're also at the end of the book. We've still got one more sermon left in our series, which we will do after Christmas. But we are in a sermon series called Called Out, and we've been exploring the book of Acts, and we're here on the 28th chapter. I want to get you to read this part of the chapter with me, if we can just stand to our feet really quickly, and in honor of God's word. We can all read it off the screen. If you have your Bible, you can read it from your Bible. I'll be reading from the ESV, and it says, "After we were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the native people saw that the creature was hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer. Though that he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live.' He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." The title of my message today, taken from Taylor Swift, is "Shake It Off." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "We're going to shake it off today." Shake the snake. Shake the snake off. Lord Jesus, you can take a seat. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to delve into your word. We thank you that it's your Holy Spirit who is the author of this scripture that brings it alive for us today as we explore your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to be a faithful steward as I break down the scriptures today. Lord, not by my might, not by my power, by your spirit, says the Lord, that we would see an illumination of these words. And Lord, that you would bring them to life in us. I pray, Lord, that even from the start, that we would shake off everything that's been a distraction. And in us, and during this Christmas season, it's so easy to get so caught up in the different things that are happening. Lord, turn down the noise of life and give us the opportunity and the grace to have have our attention fixated on you and what you desire to speak to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Question I want to ask you today, right from the start, is what's your mandate? Ladies, I did not say who's your mandate. I said, what's your mandate? There's a difference. Like, what is the reason? And I've been asking this question over the last few weeks, if you've been catching it, is why are you on the planet? What's your mission? What's your dum-dum-dum-dum-dum? Like, why are you here on the planet? Have you ever asked yourself this? When you begin to discover your mandate and your mission, how many of you have kind of an idea? You don't have to put your hand up, but you have kind of an idea of the direction that God is leading you. Here's the thing. We live in a society that recognizes implicitly the advantages of modern day, whether it's technological advancement or whether it's just the advancement in systems and structures and the way things have been deemed for us in life in 2017, there is an emerging enemy to that mandate. And that enemy is the enemy called convenience. Now, what do I mean by that? It's hard to believe, and many of you may not believe this, but there was once a time that there was no such thing called the internet. There was once a time that there was a thing called compact discs. That you would, and instead of going to a website or an app to download your music, you would actually have to get out of your house, go into a car, and drive to a local mall or shopping center to go to a place called a CD store, and actually go to Rummage through shelves, not look on an app. Like, rummage through shelves, and if you couldn't find it, you'd have to ask an actual real-life person to go to the back to see if they had a copy of MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This, so that you could purchase it for your friend, because you don't really like that song, but you have a friend, right? Like many of us don't realize that because we've advanced so much. I remember, how many of you remember what having an actual home phone that didn't have buttons on it, but you used to put your finger in this little hole and like, I used to listen to the radio all the time, right? And back in New Zealand, there was a radio station called 1ZB, and they had children's shows that used to come on Sunday mornings, and I always wanted to win the prize, because I'm kind of like that. I always wanted to win the prize, and so I would listen to it, and how many of you remember, like, Caller 8? And my friends, I knew my friends were listening to the same show, but they had the push-button phones because they were kind of rich like that. My family was in ministry, I'm just saying. Not that we're supposed to be poor, but we kind of weren't all that. We still had that joint. And so, Caller 8, call now, and you will receive a cassette copy. Ooh, cassette copy of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. I was like, I want that. So I dialed the number, and then you have to wait for it to go. And by the third number, I am forcing that number back, like dragging it back. I couldn't even get past the fourth number, and then I heard, okay, Caller 8, who are you? I'm like, what? I haven't even gotten to, like, number 8. But that's how far things have advanced. Things are so much more convenient. And I know that, you know, there's a disease that when you get to a certain age, you have this disease called get off my lawn-itis, where you start to complain about and you start to remember the good old days and start to live in that place of, you don't know, Sonny, what it was like to actually walk 50 miles to school. How many of you know, like, each year you add another 10 miles onto your story? You know, even going on Saturday to school, that's how hard it was. Things are so much more convenient now. And some of us, you know, may be lagging behind, like some of these people in these pictures, and understanding this world of convenience. Like, this woman here is trying to take a selfie, but has, somebody help her out here, has the camera pointing to the mirror and using the wrong camera. What about this one? Someone got her mom an iPad and engraved it on the back. Mom, if you're looking at this, this is the wrong side. Or one lady was like, why is it always 10:24 on my phone? When will they change the time? And then they realized, oh, it's a sticker. And so, you know, so how many of you, like, had struggles with your phone when you first got a smartphone? You didn't feel that smart, like you started texting. And then you text something like this. You're trying to figure out where the space bar was. Can you interpret that? Hi, Greg, please ring. Not urgent, but cannot find space bar. See, this is a society we live in. Convenience, right? Like, you think about it. For those of you who may not, you know, realize we're on the cusp of, and it's interesting because, like, when I have friends that visit from overseas, they notice that there's still Blockbuster Video here, whereas it's gone bankrupt a long time ago in the United States, but Netflix has killed Blockbuster. For those of you who may not realize, that's why Blockbuster's gone bankrupt in the States, and places like Video Easy have become like little machines that you see outside of Food Works now or outside of your Woolworths. Rather than actually having a big store and having an assistant. I don't know if any of you used to work at the video store, but those were like my coolest friends because they used to, you know, give you the discounts. Oh, you can keep it for another week. Keep the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie for another week. But Netflix, you know, you don't need to go to the store. You just have to have internet signal and you have this plethora of movies and cinema that's available to you right in your own home. See, convenience plays itself out even in the fact that if you think about it now, if you're thirsty right now, you have the choice of either going to a place like Woolies, right, where you can go and get a drink off the shelf, maybe not cold, it depends on what price you want to pay, because the colder ones in the fridge are usually more expensive, but the ones on the shelf are like 99 cents for a 1.25 liter. Or you can go down to 7-Eleven, pay four times the price, but it's more convenient. Which one do you normally choose? Most people will choose convenience over actually getting exercise and going to the extra effort to pay less. I hope you're catching where I'm going with this. And even things with, like I mentioned before, you know, Spotify has killed the CD store because we're trying to make things a lot more convenient. Now, where I'm trying to go with this is that convenience is the enemy often at times with you achieving that mandate that God has put on your life, because that mandate is never convenient. Okay, maybe it's easy for you. But I'm here to tell you today that the mission that God has called every single one of us, even if you're in here today and you do not know this Jesus Christ that we've been singing about, whom we're talking about, I'm here to tell you today that you were born for greatness, but greatness costs. And greatness is not convenient. You have to pay a price. There is nothing convenient about that mandate, and there was nothing convenient about the model of that mandate, which is Jesus Christ. And so when he commands his disciples, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you must firstly deny yourself. Most of us will quit right there because we have our own agenda. We come to church thinking, how can I get what I need out of this church? And if you can't get it out of this church, then you'll find somewhere else to get what you need. When that is not the reason why Jesus laid his life down. It's not for convenience. It's where he puts you. It's how he sees fit to connect you. There's nothing convenient about that. If you think that Christianity exists for your convenience, then you're worshiping the wrong God. So Jesus Christ says in Matthew 16, 24, if you want to follow me, you must firstly deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Here's the thing about the cross. I was just studying it again this week, studying a message by R.C. Sproul, who many of you will have heard, such a gem of a theologian, who passed away earlier this week. I was just reading one of his books that I have again, and you know, in memory of him during a devotional time, and he was highlighting the fact that there were three nails in Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And if we're to take up our cross, there needs to be three nails, right? Two on each hand and one on our feet. And no matter which way you cut it, there's always going to be somebody else who will have to put one of those nails in. Have you thought about that? Like, two of the nails you can put in yourself, but there's always going to have to be at least one of those nails that'll have to be nailed by somebody else. And in order to follow him, you need to realize and recognize that there's going to be those sorts of opportunities for you to be crucified by others. There's a price to be paid in the mandate. So when he calls us to take up his cross and follow him, we need to understand that that's what he calls us to. And it's not a popular gospel, but it is the gospel. It's not a prosperity gospel that says, you know what, you come to church and you can prosper. Yes, you will prosper, but prosperity is not the objective. Jesus Christ is the objective. And if he commands us to follow him, then we must recognize that it is going to be hard. It's not going to be convenient. There's nothing convenient about making disciples. It takes time. You don't do discipleship by osmosis. You actually have to show up. You actually have to take the call. You actually have to be relational and connect to people. That's not convenient. But there's nothing convenient about the cross. There's nothing convenient about following him. Are you with me today? So I just need to keep it real, because that's what we're signing up for. And it's better to put the blueprint out so that you can count the cost of what it really takes to follow Jesus. If you've been sold another gospel, that's a false gospel. You'll hear me tell you that time and time again. And so let's look at Paul and his example of wanting to follow Christ. Now look at this, right? In verse 1, and let me give you the backstory again before we reread verse 1, is that Paul's objective, Paul's mandate is to get to Rome. Are you with me? Like, the latter third of the book of Acts is about Jesus moving through Paul and trying to get to Rome. He knows that the mandate on him is to get to Rome. And here's the thing. Paul completely recognizes that when I get to Rome, chances are I'll be persecuted there as well. For me to live to die in Christ is gain. And he recognizes that I'm called to Rome. That's the mandate that's on my life. And so he pursues this mandate that's on his life. And he goes through so many trials. Now, for those of you who haven't been around for the last few weeks, let me update you on everything that's happened with Paul. Paul goes and is arrested, right? He begins to walk towards Rome. He's arrested, firstly, by with Silas and an Ephesian. He's thrown into a Philippian jail, and the Philippian jailer gets saved, and then he's taken before these Pharisees and Sadducees. They can't decide what to do with him. He's taken before the Roman authorities. They can't decide what to do with him, and he just goes from Roman judgment to Pharisaic judgment to Sadducee judgment, and all of these people just can't figure out what to do with Paul. Let me tell you something. Look up at me real quick. If you are doing what God has called you to do, God will protect your witness. There's a difference between being persecuted and going through hard times because you are covered by the blood of the Lamb and what Jesus has called you to. And there's a difference between that and going through hard times as the fruit or the consequence of making bad decisions. There's a difference. We can say, oh, there's so much resistance. How much of that resistance is bad decision-making? And how much of that resistance is actually from doing what God's called you to do? I recognize that there's been times that I've said, oh, I'm persecuted. I feel persecuted. When I've actually taken a step back and looked at what I've done, it's because of my poor decision-making that I'm actually facing the consequences of. And when I can come to that realization, there's a reality that I can repent of at that point, but I can't blame everything on the devil. I can't say, oh, you know, I'm going through a hard time because this is what God's called me to. Yes and no. Like, yes, God's called you to, but if you make knuckleheaded decisions like I've made in the past, then you will live in that place of consequence. Are you with me? Like, sometimes we're living in the consequence and we call that persecution. I'm here to tell you the truth today. Sometimes it's not persecution. Sometimes it's just the consequences of our actions and the fruit of the seeds that we've sown. And so Paul is in this place, right, where he's finally set quote unquote free. But Paul knows, I'm not really free. I am a slave for Christ, and I know I will go to multiple prisons. I know I will be persecuted many times. And so he is on his way to Rome. And Rome is in Italy, modern-day Italy. And so in order to get there from where he was, he has to sail through the Mediterranean, and he comes to an island, which is, if you know a map of Italy, it's like a boot. And underneath that boot is a little island. It looks like one of the pebbles that's being kicked by that boot. It's Malta. There's Crete and there's Malta there. And so in order to get to Rome, what they did was they traveled to Malta. And so after they were brought safely through, they learned that they were in the island called Malta. Verse 2, the native people, the islanders, any islanders in here, not just Pacific Islanders, but the Philippines got a lot of islands, especially at low tide. You all got heaps of islands. Indonesians too, man, you all got a lot of islands. The native people showed us unusual kindness. That's how we roll as islanders, right? For they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and it was cold. When Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out. Came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So this is the thing I'm trying to get used to. How many of you grew up in New Zealand? There are no snakes in New Zealand, all right? Praise Jesus for that law. Because when I see snakes, and I saw my first snake in my backyard. Now, please still come over, but it's gone now. But this snake was slithering at the back of near my pool because my neighbors have a whole, they got a lot of bush. In their backyard, they look a lot of bush, you know, and the bush in the trees. And so the snakes, you know, kind of slithered up over the fence and then just kind of doing this thing in the pool. I'm like, I'm never swimming in that pool again for 20 years. Still come over, but we called the snake catcher. That's how much of a man I was. So he's like, yeah, let's get a snake catcher. And the snake catcher was this female who was half my height and width. And I just felt like a real man by that point, because she just walked up there like nobody's business, gumboots and overalls, you know, like she crocodile hunter or something. And she just walks up there, you know, just creeping down, you know, crikey, this is gonna be awesome. But the skinniest snake. It was like small, but I was like, ah! You know, like I was scared, like, you know, slithering by the pool. That's how they say pool, right? Pool. But, oh, it's down there by the pool. And so he's by the pool and slithering and slithers up. And as it comes up out of the pool, my wife has the video because she was like excited. I was scared. And it fastened itself. Like it fastened itself onto, because it wasn't poisonous, but still. It fastened itself onto her forearm. And she just snatched it off like it was nothing. Threw it in the bag like Jake the Snake Roberts from WWF. Slung it over her shoulder, slithering. And then she's like, oh, you guys got a Band-Aid, mate. And I was like, just like that. And she's like dabbing alcohol on it and then just wraps it up. And she had a bandage, but put a Band-Aid on it. She's like, oh, yeah, sweet ass, here's the invoice. And then she rolls. You know, like, I'm just like, that's amazing. But that doesn't happen in New Zealand, right? So this is all new to me. Like vipers are fastening themselves to people's arms. Please still come to my house. There's no more vipers anymore. We made the neighbors cut down the bush, that part of the bush. Let me again encourage you, whatever the mandate is that God has in your life, some of that persecution, some of the nails in that cross are going to come from other people, authorities. Some of that's going to come through trials and tribulations, and some of it's going to come through vipers that will fasten themselves to your hands. Some of those vipers might be people. Some of those vipers might be things that are said that are not clearly communicated but turn into poison that end up in our system. But we just got to make a decision. And what's that decision, Taylor Swift? What's that decision that Paul did way before Taylor Swift did it? What? Shake it off, church. Here's the encouragement I want to give to you before I get to the shaking of it offeth. It's to be encouraged. Everybody say, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Go out of your way despite what gets in your way. Go out of your way despite what gets in your way. Let me encourage you with this. There is going to be trials. It is going to be hard. But persevere. Go out of your way, because that's what you were born for. It will simply make you stronger if you're able to persist and fight the good fight. There's two aspects of when Paul in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 talks about fighting the good fight, right? Number one, you have to fight. A fight doesn't happen if you're still in bed. You have to actually get up, get out of bed, and turn up at the ring. You have to fight. Number two, it's a good fight because the enemy's on the floor with his teeth all out, bleeding everywhere. We'll keep it PG, we'll just leave it there. But you know what I'm saying? It's a good fight when the enemy is smashed. It's not a good fight when you are on the floor smashed. It's a good fight when the enemy is completely shattered and smashed. And that is what has happened to our enemy because of the cross. So be encouraged, go out of your way despite what gets in your way. No matter what gets in your way, you need to make a decision. I will fight the good fight. How many of you are with me today? I'm not going to let this life happen to me. For those of you who may not realize, there are three types of people in this world. Those who make it happen, those who watch it happen, and those who wake up in the morning and go, oh, what happened? You want to be the first kind. You want to be the actual person that wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to make it happen today. Turn to somebody and encourage them. You better make it happen, because I am. Verse 4 says, when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand. So it's still hanging out. The creature, the snake, still hanging out. Check out what they said. They said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Now, I want you to notice something. There's a reason behind the capitalization of the J in the word justice, because justice is not just a noun, it's a person, according to the people of Malta. It's a god to them, small g. Justice has not allowed him to live. And there are going to be times, my brothers and sisters, when you will face trials and tribulations, and people will sit back and watch you go through that trial. Go, yeah, told you. This is Psalm 1 term. For those of you who are not Psalm 1 here, I'm just going to explain a little bit of my culture. My mom used to use it a lot. When she'd tell me to do something and I wouldn't do it, and then something bad would happen. And it's just a simple two-letter word that hurt every time she said it. It was less, why? Why? Yeah, why? Why? See, without even explaining what that means, all of you recognize what why means. That simple two-lettered word means, I told you so, I was trying to tell you, but you didn't listen to me, all of that in just two letters, why? Or even worse, they add a couple of other little two-lettered words. Why lie ya? Oh, hurts. Wow. And that's what a lot of people face now. In terms of, I love you, Mom. But in terms of like, when you face a consequence, there are going to be people that will sit as a part of the audience and watch you go through it. At Every Nation Brisbane, we want to be a family committed to help one another out. They should have been all over Paul trying to get the snake off him, but they were had the spirit of why on them. Yeah, why? Justice has come. Why? Why? How many of you have been through that experience, right? You've met people, you're going through stuff, and they're just, yeah, why? Why? There's also a Singaporean Malaysian term called fwah. And that's the opposite, when you are wowed by what happens. Fwah. And God wants to turn your wah into fwah. What do I mean by that? Is that it's the way you carry yourself and carry your snakes that will turn the wah into fwah, to the glory of God. See, I just went multicultural on you. You didn't recognize. I took it from Polynesia to Asia. Wah to fwah. Look what the Lord is doing. The Maltese did not have any idea or concept of who Jesus Christ was. They worshipped other gods, but they are looking at the way that Paul carried himself. Okay, I see he's getting bitten, and people are going to watch. Like the great theologian Jay-Z once said, streets are watching. People are watching for your downfall. It's just human nature, fallen nature. The worst thing you can do is to take that snake and just throw it at them and go, yeah, why to yourself? Like, that's the word. Everything inside Paul you can imagine, right? Wanted to probably take the snake, strangle all of them, and then get the poison and just put it in their mouths. He just wanted to kill all of them. But like, well, maybe that's just my sick imagination, redeemed by the love of Jesus. Thank you. But my point is, Paul could have easily made a decision at that point to say, my mandate is not as important anymore. I just want to rectify the situation and pour out justice on these people who think justice is being done to me. But he recognized, look, I can't do that. I've got a mandate. I've got a calling on my life. See, it's that short-term pressure that causes us to make bad decisions in that moment of being bitten by the viper that attacks us in life. It's not an actual viper, but sometimes life bites, right? Life gets at you, but you're at that point of decision. If you can allow for the grace of God to enable you to make a conscious decision, I'm not going to let this viper get to me. I'm going to shake it off. Some of you have vipers hanging off your arms. And you got a bunch of people going, yeah, what? To you. But how you carry that snake is going to determine whether it's a what to a fwa. Are you going to have the faith, like Paul did in the next verse, to shake it off? He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Everybody say, no harm. Turn to somebody and encourage them. No harm gonna be done. Just shake it off. Some of us like the snake. We get poisoned by it and we're just like, man, maybe I was born to be bitten by snakes. And we allow other snakes to get on us like their fashion accessories. Look at my snake necklace. Look at my python bracelet. It's interesting that if you read scripture and you read the spirit behind a lot of deception, oppression, and even addiction, a lot of the root words is actually around the same verbiage that you would use to describe snakes. But some of us like our snakes. Some of us like popularity when we don't realize it's a snake. And the way you can tell it's a snake is if you have to make a decision to follow Jesus that's not popular, or you make a decision and go, you know what, popular decision would say this. We took a Gallup poll on it, and the Gallup poll says that we should go this direction. Like, even when it's unpopular, you're willing to say, no, I will rise and shake the snake off. Or maybe it's not that snake. Maybe it's another snake, snake of career and finance and money and all of that stuff. It gets on you, and you kind of like the poison of greed that seeps into your system. Maybe it's lust. Maybe you've tried shaking that snake off, but you just allow, you know what, I just give up. I've been addicted to this pornography for so long. You know, I'll just let it get to me. The Holy Spirit will tell you, you need to shake it off. Tonight is the night of salvation. You need to shake it off. You need to shake that snake off. Not let that poison get into your system. But it takes making a decision. It doesn't just happen. God in his sovereignty, yes, he has given us the capacity to experience redemption as a part of the elect, but at the same time, within the realm of being elected and chosen by God, he still gives us free will and free choice to fight. Jesus didn't die on a cross to make life convenient. He died on a cross so that we could shake off sin and live out in our mandate. He, however, shook off the creature in the fire. I love that. In verse 6, they were waiting for him to swell up. They're still like, wah, 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 he's not swelling up. Wah, fwah, fwah. Like, there's a switch up that happens, right? They'd waited a long time and saw no misfortune. Like, they did. These Maltese guys, they were nice and hospitable, but they didn't even take him to the Maltese hospital. Like, they just let him get bitten by the snake. Like, snake just hanging off of him, like, wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wow, wow, wah, wah, wah. And then they started to worship him. And Paul, you know, would turn around and say, no, it's not me. I love this. See, Paul could have seen the Maltese as his enemy. You know what? Shook the snake off and just got in the boat. Peace. See you later. But you know what he did? Verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius. Please don't name your child that. Who received and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. Are you kidding me? Like, most of us, when we would get bitten and no one would help us out, we'd be like, you know what, take your snake, bye. But you know what Paul did? He still had compassion on the Maltese. And he stuck around and he healed Publius's dad, even though his name was ridiculous. Said, I'm going to Publius's house. And he healed him. And then by the time he was just about to leave Publius's house, and he saw a whole bunch of Publius's outside. We're sick. And he healed all of them. How many of you can honestly say that when you get offended, when you walk through trials, when you walk through this dissension, when you walk through this spirit of wah, that you would still turn around with compassion and be a vessel that God would use to bring healing, because it's your mandate. And God is calling us today. This is the close. God is calling us today to look past the offenses. It's my closing thought. Your enemy is not who you really think it is. You have a very real spiritual enemy that is trying to destroy or distract you from your mandate. He don't mind. Like, yeah, he minds if you get saved, but when your salvation doesn't count for anything because you live in this world of convenience, you know what ends up happening? He's like, you know what? I'm okay with that because they're ineffective. So I'll just move on to tempting the next person. If he can get you to be quiet about your faith, if he can get you to just, you know, be a Christian that's only a Christian when other Christians are around, then he's done his job. But it's when you realize and recognize, I have a mandate. I have a calling. There is something that God's put inside of me that I have to achieve while I'm on this planet. And it doesn't matter what I have to walk through. I'm going through the fire like Shaka Khan in order that people would come to know our God. How about you, my brothers and sisters? Will you stay in that place of convenience? That, spoiler alert, convenience is not Christianity. Will you treat church like it's a place to advance your own agenda? Or will you worship God and understand today that he has called you for much greater things? And you will, it's a promise of God, you will go through persecution. I'm not talking about, again, consequence because of your own decisions. I'm talking about real life persecution. I've been through it, but I love that I'm in the will of God by his grace. It's not, I'm not trying to prop myself up like I'm anything righteous. I'm simply saying by God's grace, I'm fighting the good fight. And the devil is lying on the floor with no teeth because he hasn't won Nelly's soul yet. He hasn't won your spirit yet. How many of you would say, I'm fighting the good fight today? I'm going to shake it off.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.